Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is September 8th and today we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 153, paragraph 1, which begins with, "It may seem incredible that these men," and ends with, "Our own recovery proves that." Reading and commenting on that one paragraph. Today's readers are Davelin E. for the 12 Steps, Rhonda R. for the 12 Traditions, Chanel P. will read our text, Julie E. B., and Lorraine M. as well. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 20610. And the reference number for this morning, September 8th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20612. BOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any private or public organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Davelin E. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Elaine and everyone else. My name is Davelin E., and I am a compulsive overeater living in Manitoba, Canada. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Can't hear you, Elaine.
Can't hear you, Elaine.
Oh, goodness, I'm so sorry. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Okay, we'll now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 traditions.
Thank you, Elaine. Happy Friday, everyone. This is Rhonda R., grateful and recovering in Georgia. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the chance to do service today.
Thank you very much, Rhonda R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the meter should be muted using the star 1 function on your keypad, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 153, paragraph 1. And I will now ask Chanel T. to please begin reading for us.
Hi, this is Chanel T. in Washington State, and I am a grateful recovered compulsive eater today by the grace of God. It may seem incredible that these men are to become happy, respected, and useful once more. How can they rise out of such misery, bad repute, and hopelessness? The practical answer is that since these things have happened among us, they can happen with you. Should you wish them above all else and be willing to make use of our experience, we are sure they will come. The age of miracles is still with us. Our own recovery proves that. I love this book, and this paragraph is no exception. They're talking about the paradox here, the paradox of how this program works. It's not something that I can explain and say, well, it works because it works, right? There are certain things, and the longer I live, the more I'm sure there are things that I can't explain. I can't define the infinite higher power in my finite mind, right? With my finite mind. And that's the same with why this works. It's not a weight loss program. That's not what this program is. It's spiritual. Do you get weight loss or weight gain, depending on a need, out of it? I have. And that in and of itself is a miracle because I had frankly given up on dieting. But to be happy, respected, and useful once more, after a certain weight gain, I didn't feel exactly respected when I went out and about. I felt judged. Now, a lot of that judgment was toward myself, but I definitely felt like I was treated differently. Maybe there are others on this line who can relate to that. And I certainly didn't feel happy. And I was trying to be useful, but in very self-seeking and unfortunately manipulative ways. I was trying to be a people pleaser. And I certainly had misery and hopelessness hanging out on me, burdening me, weighing me down. But I love looking up the definition of words sometimes. And I'm looking up miracles here. I had to switch ears, so hopefully you can still hear me. It's got a couple of definitions, but I like the first one the best for what we're talking about here. An extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs. It is extraordinary that I have food neutrality. It is extraordinary that by giving away this program to others, I keep it and my own recovery grows. Where it says, should you wish them, meaning the recovery, above all else, and be willing to make use of our experience, we are sure they will come. The recovery, the promises of recovery. I don't have the chains of bondage anymore. I'm not in bondage to food. And I never thought I could say that in my 56 years of life. All I had to do, sometimes I didn't feel, and sometimes I still don't feel, willing to work the steps. I suspend my unwillingness and I do it anyway. And what a blessing that has been for me. The promises have come true. The miracles are still with me. And my recovery proves that it can work for anyone else too. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chanel T. Okay. Although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you would like to comment on page 153, paragraph 1, and you haven't shared in the last 3 days, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Melanie C.
Melanie C. And I heard someone else but didn't get your name.
Bruce E.
Anybody else?
Hannah B.
We've got room for more. Jordan L.
Leslie M.
Carla C.
Leslie M. Carla C. Wonderful. Here's who I have. Melanie C., Bruce E., Hannah B., Jordan L., Leslie M., and Carla C. Did I miss anybody? Okay, great. Let's get started with Melanie C., followed by Bruce C. Please share with us, Melanie.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Canby, Oregon. And my heart just started beating and thumping, and I got that little anxiousness within me when this paragraph was read and the share was given, because if I could at all, in any way, shape, or form, paint you a picture, it'll take a bit, I would think, from what it was like in 1989 when I first was entered Overeaters Anonymous and still binged for 17 years. And then the last time it came that I wasn't picking up food for anything else in my life ever until this very moment that was outside of my food, not my food heroin. That was in November 5th, 2005. And from that point, the awful, awful, awful way that I was living, I think it might be jaw-dropping for some of you here in this room for me to explain to you what I was doing, what I was up to, what I was capable of, and how miserable I was, and how every doctor that I could imagine to go to and their prescribed medication did nothing for me. All the couches that I laid upon, all the times that I bawled and cried in my room, in my face, in my pillow, wherever I was, whatever I was doing, all the people that I hurt and took from and sucked the life out of and demanded from. If you would have known, if you could have seen, it is incredible the difference from 2005, November, until September 8, 2023, the personality change. Initially, there was this period of time with putting down the food was absolutely critically essential. And then the working of the steps were absolutely critically essential to tether to be able to find and feel what it was going to be like to have my responsibility, take responsibility for me with the help of these people in these rooms that carry me every day. And the relationships that I have now, the relationship that I had that could not have been, they're stunning to me. Oh my goodness, I wish I could share with each one of you what has been restored here for me, and the passion and the drive to cultivate joy in somebody else's life, to not harm anybody anymore, to check my words, to do my 10 steps, to go back and amend if I've done anything unwittingly to harm anybody. It is a miracle, absolutely incredible, incredible. It shouldn't happen for a person like me. It just should not have. I was 50 years old. Thanks for the time to share today and this lovely, lively paragraph. And I'm so excited to hear others share. Pass.
Thank you so much, Melanie C. Bruce E., you're up next, followed by Hannah B.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Thank you, everybody. And I appreciate everybody here. And I'm Bruce E. I'm recovered. I'm in Fort Myers, Florida. And I think I'm reasonably happy today. Why shouldn't I be? I'm abstinent, for one thing, and right, solid on the food plan. I wasn't very happy before, no, not when I was down on the food. When I was into the food, I was not happy because I was all the time trying to judge myself and judge everybody else and trying to figure out how to get out of the food when I was down in the food. And how can you be happy doing that? So I wasn't happy. So I think I'm reasonably happy today. I think I'm pretty well respected. And I think I'm useful to others. I think when I call people or people call me, we're useful to each other. In the meetings, I think I'm useful. And I don't think I was very well respected or useful before, but I am now. So now, how does this happen? How did it happen? Well, that's the first sentence. The last sentence of this paragraph shows how it happened. It says, the age of miracles is still with us. And I guess it's the second and last sentence on that paragraph. The age of miracles is still with us. So, and I like what I heard about miracles. Miracles don't happen in a vacuum. It involves a higher power. So the miracle for me, almost, yeah, I had to be there. A sponsor had to be there. We were reading this book, but the miracle happened. So it was me that sponsored the book. And then I assumed that higher power was there, and the miracle happened. And I give credit to higher power, you know, more credit to the higher power than the book or the, you know, anything else, you know, more credit to him than anything. So the miracle happened. And the miracle is that I'm not obsessing over the food, you know, that I don't have the obsession and the compulsion about the food. You know, I'm not worried about what I'm going to eat today. I know I got a food plan. I know I follow it. But I'm not worried about it. I didn't worry about it last night. You know, I used to worry about it all the time. Oh, no, what am I going to eat tomorrow? How am I going to stay? You know, I don't do that because I do have a food plan that I follow, and it takes all the stress out of it. And it helps me to be happy and respected and useful. And our own recovery proves that. Yeah, so what proof have I got that this miracle has happened?
That's a reminder.
My abstinence. Yeah, that's the recovery. Thank you. And I am very grateful to be recovered today and be on this line. So I pass.
Thank you very much, Bruce E. Hannah B., you're up next, followed by Jordan L.
Hi, I'm Hannah B. from Tennessee, recovered compulsive overeater. What a gift that you were sharing this morning, Chanel. Thank you so much, and thank you for your service. And you're just such an amazing example of service in this program. So So thank you. And today I just wanted to claim my feet and check in and connect. The miracle is that I, for this fourth dimension of existence today, and even though it's not always easy and I'm really good at popping in and out of that, I feel like God is just continually doing for me what I cannot do for myself, and just so many gifts and things that pop onto my path, and that tells me that I'm on the path, because those things weren't happening in the same way before I was present and abstinent. They just weren't, even when I was trying to be abstinent. So today I just need to surrender and service, and I pray for the willingness to continue to stay in that place as a state of being, because the only way that I've experienced any kind of freedom from this bondage, and that's everything. So that'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Hannah B. Jordan L., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Leslie M. Jordan L.?
Yes, yeah. Did you call me?
I did. Please share.
Sorry. Okay. Thanks, Elaine, for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. The practical answer is just this, that since these things have happened among us, they can happen with you. That line really jumped out to me this morning. And I think it's because that's pretty much it, you know, like that was the bridge from step one to step two for me, when I came back to Overeaters Anonymous in 2017. Like that was the connection for me. Was that I heard these compulsive overeaters on these Sunday special editions, and they were talking about how this disease had really ravaged their life, and how they had come in. Some of them came back in, some of them struggling with abstinence for years in the beginning, and then hitting a wall and finally like finding a way over that wall. So not identical circumstances, but really vivid pictures of how it was that they had implemented what it is that this book describes, the directions or instructions or suggestions that this book has for the alcoholic, but how that could be translated into compulsive overeating. And then they said, like, look, if I can do this, you can do this, you know? If I can find this higher power that's restored me to sanity, then you can too. And they didn't put any sort of like strict guidelines about what the beliefs had to be. It was very, very open and very, very inclusive. And that was it. Like that was all I had. That was the only bridge. And that's pretty simple. Like that's pretty basic stuff, you know? And I wanted to say something else too about step two. We talk about being restored to sanity, even this paragraph, right? It talks about
gentle reminder.
I'll wrap up. It talks about becoming useful once more, right? I've been compulsively overeating since I was a kid, so I didn't know what it was that I was going to be restored to, because I never really had it to begin with, you know? And so I'm just very grateful for the folks that came before us and said, if this can happen among us, then it can happen with you. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Jordan L. Leslie M., you're up next, followed by Carla C.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you for your service. I am Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. And really, what this paragraph makes me think of is in the beginning, you know, I have to just say that I am a compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety. I've been in OA this year 33 years, and I didn't first get recovered until I had been in 5 years ago. So I've been in OA for 28 years without finding, you know, what I needed. I'm grateful to have come to this meeting because, as some of the other sharers have said, when I came to this meeting, I heard something different. I heard that people were recovered, you know, and my basic motto in the very beginning was, if it can happen for them, it can happen for me. And that's exactly what it says in this paragraph. You know, look what's happened to me. It can also happen to you, you know. Yeah, do we have to? Are there some things that we have to do? Absolutely. There are some musts. But, you know, at this point, I know that for me, you know, the musts are just, they've just become part of my daily life. But the reason I really wanted to share this morning was this first sentence. It says, it may seem incredible that these men are to become happy, respected, and useful once more. And the word that really gets for me is happy. You know, when I got recovered, I was 67 years old. And I got to tell you, I wasn't a happy camper. I was not a nice person to be around. I was miserable, and I made a lot of other people miserable, you know. But after I got recovered, I was speaking with a newcomer one day, and she said, so what's really different about your life today? And I said, for the most part, I am happy. And that is such a big change for me that, you know, I have to talk about it. I have to say, yeah, this has happened. But the other part of it is I have to say that I didn't do this. I had someone come up to me after I got recovered and say, how did you do it? And I'm like, whoa, this was not me. All the other times, every other time I said, I got this, I can do it. No, this time I'm going to give all the credit to my higher power because I didn't do this. There was no way I was capable of making the changes in me that have occurred. And so I'm just always very grateful for my higher power and for all the good that is in my life today. And with that, I pass. Thank you for your service, Elaine.
Thank you so much, Leslie M. Okay, we have Carla C. up next. And then after Carla C., we're going to take another lineup. We're commenting on page 153, paragraph 1 begins with, it may seem incredible, and ends with, our own recovery proves it. Okay, Carla C., please share with us.
Yeah, thank you, Elaine, for your service. I love this meeting. This age of miracles are still with us, and God does for me what I cannot do for myself. And I'm just so, 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 so grateful for that, because this program works. You work it because you're worth it. And I went on a trip to San Luis Obispo, and I was just seeing number 33 everywhere. And in the Course of Miracles, it says that you are loved and you are a miracle. And I think all of us are miracles. And I'm just so grateful to be here. Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Carla C. We are walking miracles for sure. Thank you very much. Okay. Though we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others that may share their experience too. So if you haven't commented in the last couple of meetings, then please, or the last couple of days, please press star 1 to unmute. We'd love to hear from you, including newcomers. Thank you.
Adele R.
Who'd like? Adele R.
This is Vicky T.
Vicky T.
Jan F.
Jan F.
Alex K.
Alex K. Room for one or two more? Okay, well, let's go with Adele R. Vicky
Roz G.
Roz G, I'm adding you to the list. DNF, Alex K, and Roz G. Adele R, you'll be followed by Vicky T. Please share with us, Adele. Star one to unmute.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Adele R. I'm in Kansas City. And I love the line, the practical answer is that since these things have happened among us, they can happen with you. And I believe that. I believed that from my first meeting that I walked in, and I could identify with the people that I was sitting with. And I wasn't particularly seeing like a precise working of the steps, but I could feel some recovery, and I knew that what I felt there, I could have that identified with these people. What I'm so grateful now is to have a real precise set of instructions that tells me how I can get to the place of being happy, respected, and useful. I had actually no desire to be useful. I wanted to be happy and respected, but being of service was just not in my game plan. I could relate to the misery and the hopelessness. Like my disease didn't give me a really bad reputation, but I definitely related to the misery and the hopelessness. And the place that I find myself in today is that I do want to be of service, and this is a miracle. This is truly a miracle. And I'm so grateful for the book, the fellowship, all the people that I trudge the road of this practice with, because I know that my recovery, even my abstinence, my life today is not my own. It is a result of all the people who have worked this program before me, and of course, just my higher power. So thanks to everyone who's on the line and working this program, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Adele R. Vicky T., you are up next, and you'll be followed by DNS.
Hi, everyone. Thank you. I am Vicky T. I'm recovered in Florida, and I'm very grateful to be on the line. And, oh, wow, I just love this program, and I love this book. I feel like the book and the fellows and the fellowship and everything that has to do with program, it gives me the ease and comfort and excitement. Not that the food ever really gave me excitement, to be honest, but, you know, more so the ease and comfort that the food gave me. It's a perfect replacement. It's a way better replacement without any of the side effects. You know, I remember having a sponsor, and he said, you know, I don't know why I don't compulsively overeat. It's a miracle. And I was so pissed off at him. I was like, what are you talking about? That doesn't make sense to me. Because I'm so, like, concrete. You know, the last time I came, you know, I'm not a one and done, unfortunately. I've been in this program for a long time, and I've had many relapses, unfortunately. But maybe fortunately, because I've learned from them all. And I just felt like I needed something more concrete. I remember the last time I came back, I was like, I didn't like the God thing because it's too obscure. I mean, I laugh at that now, you know. It really is a miracle. Like, I don't know why. I mean, I do know why I work the program every day, but I mean, it doesn't like make logical sense. Like, I didn't like go from point one to point two and then underline something and highlight something, and then that's why I don't want to compulsively overeat. And then also about the service thing. Yes, I was definitely not interested in service. I was brought up to be like, I'm the most special person in the world. I'm as pretty as Angelina Jolie. I'm really not. And, you know, it's all about me. And then it's all about what you think about me. And now I get that effect from doing service. I just love it. I just love to be able to be there for somebody else. That actually gives me the excitement. The food never really did, but I know some people it has. But It's just such a joy and a pleasure. And the gift is that I get to get out of myself as well. So I'm very grateful to be here and to be part of this beautiful, beautiful tribe. Thank you for letting me share.
Glad you are too, Vicky T. Okay, DNF, you are up next, and you'll be followed by Alex K.
Good morning, Elaine. Can you hear me?
I hear you just fine. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Oh, my gosh. Well, first, I am DNF. I'm in New York. And I'm a gratefully recovered, just for today, by God's grace and mercy, compulsive overeater. And I am so thrilled to be talking about miracles. And this is the third Vision for You I've been on today, and just so wonderful to hear these words, which tell us that the age of miracles is still here. And, you know, it's not really even an age for me. It's the daily miracles. It's the moment-by-moment miracles. And anyone who knows me has heard me say many times that I have a little journal that is just specifically for miracles. Because I have to be shown. You know, this is the sixth sense that they talk about that we're going to be developing, that I am aware of what miracles are, that I have a power that speaks through synchronicity. So things that I think are coincidences, those are actually communications from my higher power. So every day in my miracle journal, I write that God woke me up abstinent and sober today because I realized that it's a miracle that God woke me up. I did not do that. God did that. And so that's in my miracle journal every day. And at the end of the day, I say, thank you, God. The miracle is that you tucked me into bed abstinent and sober today. And those are true miracles. And there's so many miracles in between, conversations that I have with people that then lead to readings in meditation that are, you know, seen in butterflies and dragonflies and all kinds of beautiful visions that all coincide so that I can know that I am living in this synchronicity with a power greater than myself that is connected and available to all of us all the time as soon as we ask for it. And with that, I will pass.
Well, thank you very much, DNF. Okay, Alex K., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Roz G. Please share with us, Alex.
Thank you, Elaine. Thanks, everyone, for being here. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater in recovery, just for today. I really do feel I'm in an age of miracles, and to me, a miracle is something I can't explain and couldn't make happen myself. I was a hopeless, helpless, binger starver for years, yet today I'm contentedly abstinent. The food obsession and compulsion has been removed. And I have no interest in the binge foods that I once thought I couldn't live without. To me, that's a miracle. It's evidence of my higher power doing for me what I could never do for myself. And it's just one of the many miracles of transformation of this program. When I first came to program, I didn't want to hear about God. I didn't think I wanted or needed that and was completely closed-minded. But today I have this wonderful, close, strong connection with my loving higher power. I never would have believed that could happen. Now it's the most important relationship in my life. Makes everything else possible. And my thinking, which is my real problem, is changing. I rely on my higher power instead of food and on the program instead of food. And I don't want to do the self-destructive things that I used to do. I want to take care of myself and not hurt myself with food or my thinking or my behavior. And instead of being completely self-centered and only thinking of myself all the time, I can think of others and be helpful and of service. And excuse me, I have a sense of purpose that I never had before, to do what I can to help others, especially compulsive eaters, other fellow compulsive eaters, but also everyone else. And my life is just so much happier and more peaceful. And I think if it can happen for me, it can happen for anyone, because it's not because of me, it's because of this program. And this program really works. So grateful. Thanks, everyone. Pass.
Thank you very much, Alex K. Roz G., you're up next, and then we will have time for a couple more shares on page 153, paragraph 1, starts with, "It may seem incredible that these men," and ends with, "Our own recovery proves that." Please share with us, Roz.
Good morning, Elaine. This is Roz G. I'm a compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, in the city of Los Angeles, county of Los Angeles, and the Age of Miracles was the theme of the last year's birthday party. I hope you all plan to come this year. We have a new theme, and we'll reveal that soon. But what I want to say is I want to talk about my life. Like, yeah, okay, I have sponsor. I moderate meetings. I do a lot of stuff in OA. But the proof is, what has OA done for my life? So I came into OA overweight, like most of us do, or underweight for the others, and wanting to get thin. That's it. I didn't think anything was wrong with me. Nothing was wrong with me. I just didn't know how to lose weight. And I did not consider myself a person among the ladies in the room. There's not too many guys, but, you know, I'm not over 200 pounds, so I'm not like you, you know. Horrible ego problems. And in my life, you know, always wanting, just like Bill, you know, wanting, he fantasized and imagined himself being the head of vast enterprises, which he would manage with utmost assurance. I did too. I had no education. Well, I don't want to say no. I had a high school education, a little bit of college, but not much. But I had an ego the size of the rooms. And wherever I went, I followed. And I always wanted to be the boss. I knew what was right. It was, should have be done this way. I did that with my former husband, with my family, with my sisters. You know, I messed up a lot of relationships with my ego ran me. And I have had an experience of extreme ego reduction here in these programs. If done properly, if I look at steps 6 through 9 and 10, really, really deeply and seriously, I need to get rid of selfishness, self-centeredness, jealousy, envy, being better than, being above the rule, all of that stuff. And that includes, you know, oversharing in the meetings and not waiting 3 days, which, you know, sometimes I'm guilty of. You know, I need to do those things. And at my work, I'm so respected. I was not, let me tell you, I was not respected, you know, years ago. Today, I'm so respected. I'm a coach, and I've learned that from sponsoring. I'm a coach to new teachers. The principal asked me to be on I forgot the name of it because I'm sharing now. It's not coming to me, but it's like, you know, the
center reminder.
Okay. To wrap up, the principal asked me to be, you know, the president of the board meeting where we talk about, with the parents and stuff. The name will come to me after the meeting. So I'm respected. Why? Because I took these steps. I take them every day and my ego has been reduced. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Roz G. We have time for one share. Who would like to take it?
I'm Marilee W.
It's all yours. Go for it, Marilee.
Hi, I'm Marilee W. I'm a compulsive overeater and restrictor in Colorado. And I You know, I love just looking at this paragraph. It seems to me to really bring in the whole program of action and this place of how can they rise out of such misery, bad repute, and hopelessness. And I think many of us, if not all of us on this line, know that place of misery and hopelessness and suffering within our food and our food behaviors and just the pain. And it is that place that, you know, food behaviors and the pain are my great persuader. And that can happen on a daily basis. It's not about being on a spiritual hilltop, and that's why I love the word practical. And I was just thinking about, you know, step two doesn't need to be a huge event. Like, it's okay if we don't believe. It's okay if we're in a place of being mad at God. It's if we have the willingness, which we can also be powerless over, and that's okay too, but to continue and open-mindedness and honesty, just even little bits at the beginning, to start walking through this process as outlined. It can look like a willingness to believe that there's a power greater than ourselves. And it can also look like a hope that we just see it working for other people in these rooms, either in their voices or in their eyes, if we see them face to face. And then moving forward and going through the directions, that is like magic starts to happen. It's really amazing. But I want to hit on this word practical. I'm a single mom. That doesn't matter. Actually, I'm trying to get rid of that story in my head, which God has to do that for me. And so it's really such a practical program of action. If we have jobs, if we have kids, if we have significant others, if we're just alone and sad about that, like this program meets us where we are at. And as we go through it, this morning I was driving behind like a work truck with a big cat thing on the back of it, and it was going very slow. And I prayed and I said, remove my impatience. And something started to change in my heart. Now, prayer alone is not the only thing in the program. There's inventory and all of that. But as we go through this, I guess my point is this on a daily basis, I get to see my selfishness as a mom. I get to see all those places. And then we open up and we become unblocked. And it works in every situation in our lives, in every area, and even in the most, when we're in the most misery, we're still, the humility is that we're still all one. So that's what I have.
Thank you so much, Marilee, and everybody that has shared today. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Julie E.B. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Julie E.B., star one to unmute.
Hi, this is Maybe. Julie E.B. Hi, this Thank is Julie you. E.B. Just a second here. I lost my phone. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to his fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Grip freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless and keep you until then.